Father, we thank you. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for everything you do for us. We thank you, Lord, that we know, Lord, that you are there with us and you never leave us nor forsake us. That we can come to you, Lord, with every need we have, Lord, with boldness because of what Jesus did. And we just, Lord, that today come to you and ask you that you may just open our mind and our hearts, that the words that we are going to be looking into your word, Lord, may be imprinted in us to help us to experience the fullness of the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so we continue on what we started last week. We looked at the difference between faith and mental assent. This is an important distinction to be able to see, and the understanding that we have in that case help us to not to get stuck, because otherwise with mental assent we're going to get no results. We also saw starting to see the difference between believing and not believing. The type of unbeliefs, we talked about two types of unbeliefs. Okay, we have the type of unbelief that is just lack of knowledge. You cannot have faith if you don't know what you can believe. And you know what you can believe by knowing the word. So the word, unless you know the word, unless you understand the word properly, then you cannot receive what God wants to do with you. But there is also another type of unbelief, and it's the one that refuses to believe or remains there and is not convinced by the word. There are many things that we read in the word sometimes that we accept at the mind level. We accept logically, we accept that we would like them to be true. But really, the question of believing it is another story when it comes to a practical application in specific area. You see, faith is not a general thing. It's always a specific things concerning certain applications. If you may have great faith in some areas, like, for example, financially, because of your experience, because of whatever it is, you may be doing very well financially, but when it comes to healing, you may just be stuck without being able to really get the results that you want. And that shows that your faith in one area is strong, and you have no problem doubting, or and the other area is not strong. In one area, you can go beyond what you see, because that's what faith does. In another area, you are stuck with the evidences and the symptoms of your body. And some things that you are able to do depends actually on your previous experience. To the degree that you have success in some area, you become confident that you can keep having success. But in other areas in which you have not success for one reason or another, you may be stuck. And even if you want to believe, and if you believe, logically that the word is true, that all the other parts of the word are true as well, but when it comes to actually trust completely what the word says and be fully persuaded, it's a different story. So this type of unbelief that is actually not accepting completely the truth that you are reading is something that is a position of your heart that one has to repent from. It's really a question of really not really trusting God about a particular thing. And it's not, we are just human. According to our experiences, we may struggle in some areas more than others. And so it's not a question of putting ourselves down or, you know, saying what's wrong with us. It's a question of seeing how what to do to change the situation, to change the position that you have in our heart. And so we are going to see some things. We are going to look at some scriptures to give us direction and enable us to get from a position of defeat to a position of victory. Okay? So what I said is, you know, lack of knowledge is one. Lack of knowledge is very easy to fix. You go to the Word and you find out what it says. You believe it and you start applying it. If you don't have problem with resisting what the Word of God is saying, like, you know, somebody may not be very successful in some areas, like, for example, work. And the Bible says we can do all things in Christ who strengthen us. And you say, yes, you know, that's what the Word says, but really here I can see myself doing very well. And so you had to overcome all those negative experiences that you had before that are influencing your mind to block your mind from being able to receive what the Word of God says, so that you had to make a decision against yourself. And that's not an easy thing to do, because that is an ingrained, programmed things in your conscious and subconscious that is there pushing you in that direction that is against the Word of God. And you don't just go get over that in 5 minutes. You can apply that to any of the other things. I mean, some people, see, why children are so easy to receive? Because they're not being programmed negatively. You see, when we have experienced, for example, the fact that, you know, we've been sick all the time, say, and the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth you. Yeah, hasn't healed me for so many years. You know, why is he doing it for now? Are you following me? So it's very difficult to overcome that programming by just simply making a decision. No, I'm going to believe. And you have to deal with that. Now, your choice is, okay, is to realize what's going on. Is to realize the blockage that you got and to start working to demolish the stronghold that is inside you. See, that's where strongholds are in our mind, blocking us from receiving things. And often, we don't even realize we have them because we are used to be that way. Okay? So, let's see. One of the things that we can see is the way we are inside, the way we feel inside. In Hebrews chapter 9, 4, 7, for chapter 4, verse 9, I read it last week. I'm going to repeat that, and then we are going to move on. These remain therefore a rest. They remain therefore a rest for the people of God. See, one of the indications that faith is inside you is that you are at rest inside. You have no anxiety, you have no fear, you have none of these things, you know, pushing you around. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased to work as God did for his. You see, when you don't have that rest, you are there trying to work your faith up to believe God. When instead it is not a question of working yourself up. That's, you cannot do it in your own strength, in your own working up. There has to be a change taking place inside you. It's not work. is the reality and the presence of God inside you that makes the difference. Let us therefore diligently enter that rest. So there is a diligence that we can exercise to enter that rest. We'll cut that off. All right, are you following me? There is a diligence by which we enter into that rest. So there is something that we can do diligently to get there. See, God cannot expect us to have faith if we cannot find a way to have faith. It would be unfair for God to expect us to have faith if he would not provide the way for us to have faith. And he gives us the word to receive faith. That's the way it comes. And so, but we have to know what to do with it. You know, it's not just to read it one moment and it's going to work. We're going to see more in detail this. So anyway, so there is a diligence to enter the rest. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Other translation of disobedience is unbelief or disbelief or obstinate rebellion. You know, whatever you want to call it, that's a different way to translate that word in Greek. For the word of God, you see how it's connected? You know, often we quote this following scripture for itself, another time without seeing the connection, but these two are connected. It's one verse after the other. For the word of God is living and powerful. You see, that's where the solution is to overcome that type of unbelief. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and in discerner, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. You see, that's what it's going to do. The word has to work inside you, and as it works inside you, it works through these differences, this discrimination that we do about, well, I can't believe that, and I believe this other thing. It says that the word is powerful, but we have to give the word a chance to be powerful in us. That is not a passing thing. Especially if those imprinting inside ourselves have been there and been reinforced over years of experience. Are you following me? So we have to understand there has to be a diligence for us to go to the Word and not just one scripture, but more than one. See Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Let them not depart from what? Your eyes. So I mean, that means you have to be there looking at it all the time. You see, faith, moving off his tangent here. Faith sees things. How can you see things that aren't there when faith sees things that aren't there? You have to look at something. What you have to look at is the word. You see, you have to look at the word so much that it overtakes all the imprinting that's been inside you for the things you've seen before. So that the image formed inside you as you read the word counteract the images that have been recorded there in the past and even in the present. So you have to bring into the present the images that the word of God gives to you. That's the diligence that you had to execute. That's the diligence that you had to work on. Now, God promises that we are going to have victory. Doesn't say the ways we are going to get it. doesn't say the way we are going to get there in this specific situation. But in general, we get there by looking at the Word. See, that is what's going to discern the spirit and the mind. What the spirit the predominance over the mind, then we are going to see the manifestation in the physical, because the what is not seen is going to become seen, because it's going to become materialized. And it's not because we are trying to do it. The only thing we go is go to the Word. And the Word brings peace. And as we receive peace from the Word, it's because the image inside us is being changed already. You see, something is happening on the mind level coming from the Word to change the way we see reality, until reality is changed because of the way we see it. Are you following me? So, you know, at the beginning, we may be frantically going to the Word. But after a while, you go to the Word and you have peace, even if the situation isn't changed. So you start to talk about the things that are not as though they were. Not because you are trying to force a situation, it's because this is what's coming in from inside you, because the Word has planted it and has created that reality in your soul as well as in your spirit. So this is, you see, that's why it's so important that this scripture, which is actually, you know, Hebrews 4:12, it's used all the time about the Word of God, His power, and, you know, but it's generally it's used in isolation. It's not related to this rest that we should be getting. If you put them together, you see that the whole thing makes a parcel and makes, give us the direction on what we had to do to overcome the unbelief. Hallelujah. You know, faith, if you remember, in, let me read it. Romans chapter 4, verse 20, about Abraham. It says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And was fully convinced or persuaded, depending on the translation you use, that he was that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, he was accounted for him for righteousness. And then, you know, that's what you got, the results. I mean, can you see Abraham? He was getting older all the time. You know, from the physical perception, he was getting worse. I mean, he was like dead, says there. Was 100 years old. Not only him, Sarah was 90. Need to say much. Okay? I mean, there was this is not a, one miracle has to take place. There were two miracles that had to take place at the same time. All right? So, I mean, you know, miracles are not coming every day. I mean, to get two miracles at the same time, and even probability. Whoops. But God doesn't go according to the law of probability. God goes according to the law of creation. And he creates things through the Word. This is why we are made the same as God, in the image of God, we create things by creation. And we create things as we speak the Word. But we speak the Word not because we speak the Word by just repeating it like parrots. It's because we speak the Word expressing the faith that is inside us already. Praise the Lord. So the key problem, the key thing to understand is the doubt which is not unbelief. There's a big difference between doubt and unbelief. Unbelief is not believing or believing something different from the Word of God. Doubt is one moment believing and the next moment not believing. So really, you know, doubt is wavering. Actually, the word on the doubt in often in the Bible is translated doubt, but it's actually wavering or hesitating, calling to question, wondering about, is that true or not? You see, it's an expression of inner conflict and confusion. God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of faith. He gives us faith. He gives us the word so that we can have faith. You know, the typical example is, if you remember the story with Peter, when they were in a boat and there was a tempest. And then Jesus wasn't there. And he appeared there at night. And, you know, let me read it to you. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 24 and following. Tossed by the wave from the wind, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, it was between 4 and 6 o'clock a.m., you know, Jesus went to them walking in the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." Not much faith there. And they cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." That's always what God says. That's always what Jesus said. Fear is not from God. Rest is from God. Peace is from God. So when you have fear, you are attacked by the enemy. All right. And Peter answered and said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Now, you see, first of all, Jesus walking on water. That was big enough, all right? I mean, how can anybody walk on water? Somebody, when I was talking, preaching once at the convention on walking on water, says, "Well, you know, it was ice." I didn't appreciate the joke at that moment. But anyway, you know, the point is, this is not just Jesus walking on water. Peter was walking on water. He had the faith to break the law of gravity and to be able to walk on water, which is impossible to do. All right? Not for Jesus, but, you know, he said, "Well, Jesus was Jesus." Well, Jesus was Jesus. Peter was Peter. All right? So the evidence is that things that are impossible are possible. And if Peter did, we could too. Now, there are other instances, but I'm not going to talk about that. Now, and Peter answered, "I don't know. If you command me," okay, verse 29. "Come," and when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sing, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You see, Jesus always rebuked the apostles when they didn't have faith. And he rebuked Peter because he was sinking in the water. I don't want to be around there. Are you following me? See, his expectation is that we should believe and not be wavering. You see, doubt, the word there translated doubt is why did you waver? That means if you said that you didn't believe it completely, is that you were just there between believing and not believing, affected by the circumstances and the wind and the other things, instead of focusing on just Jesus and the word and what God has said. So the idea, you see, the only thing that Peter did to start sinking was that he shifted his focus from what Jesus said to what was going on. You know, that shows us something is very important for us. If we want to start experiencing the power of the word, we cannot afford ourselves to be shifted in our focus and to look at the things around us. Because the very moment when we do that, we start sinking in the circumstances we are in. And so the point is, how easy is for us to keep focused? You see, then it becomes a question of the ability for us to keep our faith is our ability to keep our focus. You see, that's the diligence that I was talking about before. You see, it's the fact that we do not allow ourselves to be distracted by the things around us, but we keep focusing on the word. And when we got to the place where it's normal for us to deposit, to focus on the word, it's going to be easy to stay there, even if the circumstances try to get our attention. But the point, when we start realizing that, we are halfway there. We don't even need to be able to do it. We need to understand the way it works. Because if you understand the way it works, then the only thing you have to do is to implement it. We know what to do. And God is faithful to help us to implement it. But we have to be willing to do the work, be diligent about implementing it, because otherwise we are not going to be able to overcome. And we expect, God, why didn't you do something? He did everything that needed to be done. He gave us the tools. He gave us the word. He gave us the teaching. He gave us the understanding. Now it's for us to do something. And he said, I'm waiting for you. You're waiting for God when God is waiting for you to do something. God, heal me. God, do this. God, fix this situation. And he says, you know, I give you power and dominion over all the things around you, over my creation is given. I mean, I'm giving you the power to walk on water. You want to push it to the extreme? I mean, if it was done, it can be done. So don't be surprised if sometime we will have to do that. I will read plenty of scripture to support my point. Okay, so James chapter 1 verse 5. We know all these scripture, but we have to apply them and start to live the scripture, not just quote the scriptures. You know, if anyone lacks wisdom or lack anything, not just wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. I mean, liberally. Doesn't say that he's there stingy about not giving. He gives us liberally. If we don't receive, it's our fault, not his. So, that's tough. No, that's the word. You want victory? You go according to the word. You see, you cannot change the word to fit your ideas. You have to go by the word and accept what the word says, because when you do that, you're going to get results. If you don't get results, it's the fact that you don't go by the word. Liberate without reproach, and it will be given to him. I mean, anything. You know, you remember what Jesus said? Ask, and it shall be. Anyone, doesn't say just that, anyone that asks, it will be given to. But evidently, the way you ask makes all the difference. Because if you don't ask in faith, you're not going to get anything. And this is what it says here in James. And James is really for new Christians. James is an epistle that was written for new believers and gives all the basic rules to live a Christian life in victory. If you want to, learn how to start to walk the way God expects you to walk, read James and apply it. Forget about all the other rules and regulations and commandments and stuff. You know, the New Testament is very simple. We don't need the Ten Commandments. We don't need the 500, how many the Jews they have there on the Torah. I mean, they have all these rules and they have to tick them out all the time. You can win that way. There are only two. Love God with all your heart and everything you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. You do that, you fulfill everything. So you don't need to be there searching about and being panicky and being, concerned about so many things. You just have to focus on those two essential things. Okay. Let me continue this verse here. But let him ask in faith, with not doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, tossed to and fro, by the wind. Let not that man suppose, don't even suppose, that he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. You see, the doubt and double mind is the same thing. Doubt means that you have double-minded. You think one moment one thing. You say, oh yes, I believe the scripture. I believe all the word. God is the word of God and everything else. Next moment, it's not going away. Lord, when do you heal me? Oh Lord, when will you fix my finances? Hello? The idea is simple. When you line up with between you what you believe and what you say, then you're going to see the manifestation right there. That's what the whole scripture says, the whole Bible says. Now, the difficulty is to overcome the power of your senses. But what I'm giving you here is the secret to overcome. This is why children find so easy to receive, because they have enough pre-programming about all the things that shouldn't happen. You say, daddy, kiss your bubble, and there's the thing goes away. And he just, just simple as that. Is that faith? Absolutely. You see, your word is the same as the word of God to a child that is 2 years old. And God fulfilled the faith of the child even without much theology. He said that we had to be like little children to enter the kingdom in the first place. So, I presented only one aspect of the source of our doubts, which is actually the pre-recorded in our soul, experiences that we have throughout our life. Okay. But there is more than that. See, we have an enemy that fights against us. And he tries to do everything so that we don't receive, so that God is not glorified through us. Okay. So, if we are born again, and that's the key thing. If you are born again, there is absolutely nothing that should be in you stopping you from receiving God. Blessings or promises. Because all the promises of God are in him, are yea and amen to the glory of God from us. Okay? So there is, according to just that scripture, you should be getting everything. Any promises is yours. Actually, it's yours. The problem is sometimes we don't let it be. Why? Well, one of them is when we don't believe. That's one of the sorts we talk about already. But there is more. It is our conscience. Our conscience may condemn us. We don't deserve it. And that's a lie to start with. If you are born again, you go by 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things have become new, all things are of God. All things are of God, that means there is no condemnation in you. That's why Romans 8:2 says there, no doubt there is no condemnation in them. They love, and so on, they're walking according to the Spirit. Are you following me? But the enemy comes to you to remind you all the bad things that you did in the past. When all the things that you did in the past are just wiped out, because God, if you got born again, they're all gone. You are not the same person. All things are new and all things are of God. So he doesn't have any right to do that. The point is sometimes we do make mistakes here too, after we are saved. And so the enemy said, what kind of Christian are you? The point is, we had to learn not to carry those things around. And the thing is very simple. You had to get rid of any opportunity for the enemy to accuse you of anything. And the only thing you had to do is to confess it. You go to the Lord, Lord, I missed it. That's it. And as you say that, it's cleansed. It's gone. It doesn't have, God doesn't even remember. The only one who remembers is you and the devil. And he uses your memory to keep you bound. John 1:3 says, and this we know, that we are in the truth, and we shall assure the heart before him. How far our condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. You see, our heart can keep condemning us even because after we repented. Because what kind of a Christian am I? I just blew it. You see, this guy cut me off and I swore at him. Well, if you catch yourself there, says, sorry, Lord. My stupid flesh. Okay? But that doesn't mean that you have to stay there, because if you say, sorry, Lord, and you recognize you made a mistake, it's clean. It's gone. I can read out the scripture to prove that. But anyway, let me continue on this though. God is greater than our heart and knows all things. You see, he knows that we have, it's done, it's finished. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. See, that's where the confidence comes. The confidence comes when our conscience cannot accuse you. Your conscience is cleaned. Otherwise, you are there thinking, I don't deserve it. You cannot be to the place of becoming fully persuaded if your conscience is not cleared. If you know that you cannot approach God and go to him and says, God, I'm righteous with Jesus' righteousness. Because I believe that what he did paid for my stupidity that I made yesterday about swearing to that person. Hello? But you have to be sensitive enough to deal with those issues, because otherwise, if you leave them there, they're going to bother you. They're going, you know, the little flies spoil the wine. I could continue here for some time, but I think I should. I don't have the time to say everything here. Maybe I should take it up again next week. Do you see what I'm getting to? You see, you are dealing with all the sides of the story that stop you from receiving from God. When you have done everything that you know, that you know your conscience is okay, that God has accepted you, God has forgiven you, that all your sins are gone, that there is nothing the devil can bring to you. If he brings it to you, says you shut up because you don't know what you're talking about. I'm free. God set me free. And so you just stop this condemnation right on the track. He says, no, I am Jesus, took my sins, and I am the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And I, you know, there are some scripture that just blow your mind about what Jesus promised about answering our prayers. But you see, he can only do that if we are his followers, his believers, he believes him. Believing him means not just believing in Jesus is Jesus. But it means believing that Jesus, what Jesus did, applies to you and you received it. That's what it means. Otherwise, you know, it can apply to somebody else. And lots of people say, oh, yes, I believe God here. You know, look, he is healing all these people. But he doesn't do it with me. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, you cannot take only the positive side without dealing with the negative ones. Because otherwise the negative one is working inside you and is not going to allow you to receive. All right, let's close in prayer. Do you get anything today? All right, praise you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word set us free. Thank you, Lord, that your word gives us strength, power, victory in whatever situation we may be. Thank you, Lord, that we can receive peace and, Lord, rest no matter what happens. That we know, Lord, that you are for us and not against us. That we know, Lord, that you love us and you have provided everything that we need, Lord, for life and godliness. And as we follow you and allow your truth and your word and the promises that you give us, Lord, to minister to us, Lord, that we can come to the place in which we not only have peace, but you also have victory in our lives. And we just thank you and praise you for that and give you all the honor and the glory, Lord, that you may be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.